Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening over other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone. On this beautiful Sabbath, it's very sunny over here, but it's really brisk, it's very cold. I hope you have good weather wherever you are located. This is our part 2 review of our chapter 72 entitled In Remembrance of Me. This is our part 4. Of this lesson 342 on this November 6, 2021. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And before we begin, I just would like to just have a little update. By God's grace, as soon as we finish the Lord's Prayer for the family and children, we are going to try to resume our toddler's lesson with our first book, The Story of Redemption, and we're going to go through also the story about Jesus' life. So I hope and pray if you have anything that you would like to share before we begin our studies, you can be able to send an email to either Elder Rob or Brother Dick or myself. If you need my email, you already have Brother Bob's email that you can be able to voice your concern. Okay, so Sabbath blessing once more, and we will continue. Our toddler's song, or Tiny Talk song, will be shared by our dear Brother Gray, entitled More About Jesus.
More about Jesus I would know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. We are going to continue the study about the Lord's Prayer. We are in verse 10, entitled, Thy Will Be Done in Earth as it is in Heaven. And our dear brother will be the one to share it with us.
And Sabbath blessings, everyone. Choose chapter 30, the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. The will of God is expressed in the precepts of his holy law, and the principles of this law are the principles of heaven. The angels of heaven attain unto no higher knowledge than to know the will of God, and to do his will is the highest service that can engage their powers. But in heaven, service is not rendered in the spirit of legality. When Satan rebelled against the law of Jehovah, the thought that there was a law came to the angels, almost an awakening to something unthought of. Their ministry, the angels are not as servants, but as sons. There is perfect unity between them and their creator. Obedience is to them no drudgery. The love for God makes their service a joy. So in every soul wherein Christ, the hope of glory dwells, his words are re-echoed. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalm 48, the prayer, page 294, paragraph 4. The petition, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, is a prayer that the reign of evil on this earth may be ended, that sin may be forever destroyed, and the kingdom of righteousness be established. Then in earth as in heaven will be fulfilled all the good pleasure of his goodness. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Continuing next slide. Give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6:11. The first half of the prayer Jesus has taught us is in regard to the name and kingdom and will of God. that his name may be honored, his kingdom established, his will performed. When you thus make God's service your first interest, you may ask with confidence that your own needs may be supplied. If you've renounced self and given yourself to Christ, you are a member of the family of God. And everything in the Father's house is for you. All the treasures of God are open to you, both the world that now is and that which is to come. The ministry of angels, the gift of his Spirit, the labors of his servants are all for you. The world, with everything in it, is yours so far as it can do you good. Even the enmity of the wicked will prove a blessing by disciplining you for heaven. If ye are Christ, all things are yours. 1 Corinthians 3:23-21. But you are as a child who is not yet placed in control of his inheritance. God does not entrust to you your precious possession, lest Satan by his wily art should beguile you, as he did the first parent Eve. Christ holds it for you, safe beyond the spoiler's reach. Like the child, you shall receive day by day what is required for the day's need. Every day you are to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Be not dismayed if you have not sufficient for tomorrow. You have the assurance of his promise. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. David says, I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. Psalm 37:3-25. Continue on the next slide. That God who sent the ravens to feed Elijah by the brook Cherith will not pass by one of his faithful self-sacrificing children. Of him that walketh righteously it is written, bread shall be given him, his water shall be sure. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Isaiah 33:16, Psalm 37:19, Romans 8:32. He who lightened the cares and anxieties of his widowed mother and helped her to provide for the household at Nazareth sympathizes that with every mother in her struggle to provide her children food. He who had compassion on the multitude because they fainted and were scattered abroad, Matthew 9:36. Still has compassion on the suffering poor. His hand is stretched out toward them in blessing, and the very prayer which he gave his disciples, he teaches us to remember the poor. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we ask for others as well as ourselves. Acknowledge that what God gives us is not for ourselves alone. God gives to us in trust, that we may feed the hungry. Of his goodness he has prepared for the poor. Psalm 68:10. And he says, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. Luke 14:12-14. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. 2 Corinthians 9:8-6. The prayer for daily life, prepare for daily bread includes not only food to sustain the body, but that spiritual bread which will nourish the soul unto life everlasting. Jesus bids us, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. John 6:27, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Verse 51. Our Savior is the bread of life, and it is by beholding his love, by receiving it into the soul, that we feed upon the bread which came down from heaven. We receive Christ through his word, and the Holy Spirit is given to open the word of God to our understanding and bring home its truths to our hearts. We are to pray day by day that as we read his word, God will send his Spirit to reveal to us the truth that will strengthen our souls for the day's need, teaching us to ask every day for what we need, both temporal and spiritual blessings. God has a purpose to accomplish for our good. He who would have us realize our dependence upon his constant care, for he is seeking to draw us into communion with himself. In this communion with Christ, through prayer and the study of the great and precious truths of his word, we shall as hungry souls be fed. As those that thirst, we shall be refreshed at the fountain of life. Prayer, page 295, paragraph 1 to 297, paragraph 4. And I'll give it back to Mom.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So on our next Sabbath review, we will continue to learn more about the Lord's Prayer, and we will continue with forgive us our sin, for we also forgive everyone that is in debt to us. And we will continue in our study, dear ones. If anyone of the little one, tiny tots, by the help of their mom or their older sibling would like to open their section for their nature walk, may you please unmute your mic, dear ones.
Shabbat blessings, everyone. Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
We're waking us up this morning.
Please
be with us this Sabbath day.
Please be with us this Sabbath day.
Open up our eyes.
Open up our eyes.
Our ears.
Our ears.
And our understanding.
Our understanding.
That we may receive.
I may receive.
Wondrous things from thy law.
From thy law.
Wondrous.
Wondrous.
Things.
Things.
From thy law.
From thy law.
Bless us all.
Bless us all.
And keep us throughout this day.
Keep us on this day.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Emma. Well, I have just gave a little bit of the announcement concerning our Tiny Tots session book. So now I'm going to continue on. Dear ones, this is the area where we ask the little ones and their family what was their experience on their nature walk. So let's have our listening ears that we can be able to allow our brothers and sisters to be able to speak of what they have experienced in their nature walk. I'm sorry, is Christina and the family in the room?
I'm sorry. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Jeremiah ran upstairs real quick, but we found a... What is this, Christian? What is that? You know what that is?
Jay went... A snake.
No, it's not a snake. It's not a bug. Jay, what did you find?
A snake.
No, what was that we saw outside?
A snake outside.
That's not a snake. What was that that we pointed to? That's your finger. Remember we saw this near the car?
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
It was a snail.
What is that?
A worm.
A worm.
Good. We found the worm. It had just got through getting raining, and I was getting them ready to get in the car to go to school, and we saw a worm. and this was a fat, juicy worm. What animals eat worms?
Uh-huh.
What animals eat worms?
They
fly in the sky.
They fly.
What are they?
Birds.
Good. Birds eat the worms. And he was coming out of, where was he living in?
He was living in
grass.
Good.
Grass?
So he was coming out of the ground, trying to get over to the other side of the sidewalk. So apparently worms have two sides. One side is the female and the other side is the male. And when I was younger, I used to dig in the ground and pull the worms out of the ground just to squeeze them in my hand. I would smash them in the middle just to see what they would do. And when I would watch them, it would like grow back. It was so weird. Now I can't even do it. Now it's just like, ew. But when I was younger, I used to play in the mud and dig all the worms out of the ground, pick them up and smash them in the middle just to see it grow back. So, he didn't get to touch it because we were on our way to taking him to school, but have you ever touched a worm, Jay? How does a worm feel?
It bites a lot.
No, it doesn't bite. It's kind of slimy and wet, and it's gross. I don't know if they actually make a sound. If they do, I can't hear it. We don't taste any worms because worms are not edible foods for the human beings. This is for the birds to eat. I don't know how it smells because I never really put my nose to a worm. I just smashed it in my fingers. Oh, also fish bait. Yes, Sister Yee. Yep, fish bait. Fish eat worms too.
What's that?
It's a worm.
Worm?
Yeah.
Worms are nasty.
Yeah, gross looking, yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing your nature experience. And next Sabbath, you will learn a little bit more about God's creation with the worms. Very interesting. And we are going to leave the other family to be able to come up and share what they have found.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. So the picture on the left was something that Emma and I saw after dropping the kids off to school. And then the picture on the right is a snail. Oh, not a snail. I'm so sorry. I stand corrected. It's a slug. And that's the picture. We saw that Emma, myself, Talia, and Tyshawn as we were going to their cousin's house. And like Sister Christina had mentioned, I believe it had just finished raining, and so they were coming out. So Emma, what did you think about this tree when we saw it? This one?
Apple tree.
It's not an apple tree. This
tomato tree.
No. Can you take a look? What did you think about it?
It was a big tree.
Yeah, so it's this tree, it's getting cold here where we live, but this tree stood out to us because it was very vibrant and it had the beautiful red little things on them. I don't know, fruits I would call them. They're not edible on them. So as we were driving by, we saw them and Emma and I went to go and observe them a little bit more and take a picture. So this tree, I believe, if my memory serves me, this tree while I was growing up was always sort of popped up in my memory around the holiday times, and so it's always been associated with Christmas for me, I think. And so I went and I wanted to learn more about it. So I saw it and it stood out and it was so beautiful. I said, this is an opportunity for us to be able to learn, learn a little bit more about this tree together. So that was the reason behind that. I know. I can't wait to learn a little bit more about it. And for this snail, or I keep calling it a snail. Snails are the one that has the shells, and this is a slug. It doesn't have a shell. So that's what we saw in our nature walk last week.
Go ahead, Yewon.
I'm sorry. It's funny how both of our nature walks ended up bringing us back to our childhood.
So very true. I remember I really wanted to learn about the snails and the slug also, because God creates everything for a purpose. And I remember growing up back home, every time after it rains, I would see the slug or the snail. It's always indicative that it was raining when we see these little creatures. So I'm so very interested to see the purpose and what they hold, these little creatures that God created hold. And also for the mistletoe, the holly, also that we see as well.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. We have our work cut out because these are very important creatures. They may seem small. Some people might think they're not really important, but at the contrary, especially for gardening. So remember the little ones. I'm so glad that y'all can not only have the opportunity to go to nature walk in the week, but what we intended is for the children to have nature in their heart, but to be able to draw them closer to the God of nature. So remember, little ones, a little walk with Jesus make it right, all right. A little walk with Jesus makes it right, all right. If you're naughty or unkind, praise the Lord, you'll always find. A little walk with Jesus makes it right, all right. Welcome to all the dear family that are just joining us. Our opening song, it's a hymn entitled Wonderful Merciful Savior. And if any one of the dear remnant knows this song as well, they can be able to sing along. Wonderful Merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and Friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men. Oh, you rescue the souls of men. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit, we long to embrace. You are for whole in our hearts, have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Almighty infinite Father, faithfully loving your here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh,
thank you, Haley.
You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, hearts always hunger for. If anyone of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open a family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Father God, thank you for saying, hope everybody has a good day today and a good day tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for bringing us this far and getting us through the week. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that you bless the reading and the hearing of your word and the study that you have provided for us, Father God. I pray that you give us the wisdom that we need to walk in your word, O Lord. And I thank you for forgiving us of our sins, our iniquities and transgressions, O God, and teach us to do the same for us as well, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening quote for our review lesson is taken from the book Step to Christ, page 52, paragraph 2, and is also a memory song. Jesus loved to have us come to him. Just as we are, just as we are, sinful, helpless, depending, just as we are, just as we are. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penitence, just as we are, just as we are. It is his glory to encircle us in the arms of his love, and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us, to cleanse us from all impurity. Jesus loved to have us come to him, just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, depending, step to Christ, page 52. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your questions, the answers, or anything you would like to share with your remnant family, we will take a few minutes to reread what we have learned from the part one of our lesson, In Remembrance of Me, part four, in our study book, Desire Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
When believers assemble to celebrate the ordinance, there are presents, messengers unseen by human eyes. There may be a Judas in the company, and if so, messages from the prince of darkness are there. For they attend all who refuse to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly angels are also present, these unseen visitants. These are present on very such occasions.
Amen. Brother Eakin will be one to read the following paragraph. I'm going to take this one. Come on, close.
Continuing, there may come into the company persons who are not in heart servants of true hope and holiness, but who may wish to take part in the service, they should not be forbidden. There are witnesses present who were present when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples and of Judas, more than human eyes behind the scene. Desires Ages, page 656, paragraph 2.
Amen. Good job. Let us continue in our study. We are in the Desire Ages, page 656. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to take the following paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Desire of Ages, page 656. Christ, by the Holy Spirit, is there to set the seal to his own ordinance. He is there to convict and soften the heart. Not a look, not a thought of, contrition or contrition escapes his notice. For the repentant, broken-hearted one, he is waiting. All things are ready for that soul's reception. He who washed the feet of Judas longs to wash every heart from the stain of sin. Desire of Ages, page 656, paragraph 3.
Jeremiah?
None
should
exclude themselves
from
the communion.
The communion.
Because
some
who
are
unworthy
may
be
present.
Every
disciple
is called
upon
to
participate
good
publicly
and thus
bear witness
that
he
accepts
Christ
as
a personal
savior.
It is
at these
his own
appointments
that Christ
meets
his
people
and
energizes
them
by
his presence.
Next slide, please. Continuing.
Hearts
and hands
that
are
unworthy
even administer.
Minister.
The ordinance.
Ordinance.
Yet.
Yet.
Christ.
Christ.
Is there.
Oh, there.
Is there.
Oh, there.
Is.
It.
There.
There.
To.
To.
Minister.
Messenger.
Good job. To.
To.
His.
A.
His.
His.
Children.
Children. A.
All.
All.
Who.
Who.
Come.
Come.
With.
Come.
Their.
Their.
Faith.
Faith.
Fixed.
Fixed.
Upon.
Upon.
Him.
His.
Will.
Will.
Be.
Me.
Greatly.
They. They.
Blessed.
That's it.
All.
All.
Who.
Who.
Neglect.
Neglect.
Good job. These.
These.
Seasons.
Seasons.
Of.
Jesus. All.
Divine.
Divine.
Privilege.
Privilege.
Will.
Will.
Suffer.
Suffer.
Loss.
Loss.
Of.
Of.
Them.
Them.
It.
It.
May.
May.
Appropriately.
Appropriately.
Be.
Be.
Said.
Said.
Ye.
A.
Are.
Are.
Not.
Not.
All.
All.
Clean.
Clean.
Desire of Ages, page 656, paragraph 4.
Yeah.
Okay.
In partaking with his disciples of the bread and wine, Christ pledged himself to them as their Redeemer. He committed to them the new covenant by which all who receive him become children of God and joint heirs with Christ. By this covenant, every blessing that heaven could bestow for this life and the life to come was theirs. Next slide, please. Continuing. This covenant deed was to be ratified with the blood of Christ and the administration of the sacrament was to keep before the disciple in the infinite sacrifice made for each of them individually as a part of the great whole of fallen community. Fallen humanity. Desire of Ages, page 656, paragraph 5.
And on this slide,
it says, but now in Christ Jesus, who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13.
Good job.
The Desire of Ages, page 659. But the communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. This is not its purpose. As the Lord's disciples gathered about his table, they are not to remember and lament their shortcomings. They are not to dwell upon their past religious experience. whether that experience has been elevating or depressing. They are not to recall the differences between them and their brethren. The preparatory service has embraced all of this. Next slide, please. Continuing. The self-examination, the confession of sin, the reconciling of differences has all been done. Now they come to meet with Christ. They are not to stand in the shadow of the cross, but in its saving light. They are to open the soul to the bright beams of the Son of Righteousness. With hearts cleansed by Christ's most precious blood and all full consciousness of his presence, although unseen, they are to hear his words. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but giveth I unto you. John 14:27, Desire of Ages, page 659, paragraph 1.
Desire of Ages, page 659. Our Lord says, under conviction of sin, remember that I died for you. When oppressed and persecuted and afflicted for my sake and the gospel's, remember my love so great that for you I gave my life. When your duties appear stern and severe and your burdens too heavy to bear, remember that for your sake I endured the cross, despising the shame. When your heart shrinks from the trying ordeal, remember that your Redeemer liveth to make intercession for you. Desire of Ages, page 659, paragraph 2.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, little readers, and mommies as well, daddies. Let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, memory verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that said, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown? We have reserved the 6 questions. Now we have the chance to be able to share our answers. For those that are listening over devices and cannot see the screen, I will read it off that y'all will have an opportunity to hear. But if it's possible, if you would like to share your answer, you can unmute your mic to do so. The first one is, who is the main character or characters in part 4? Number 2 is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3 is, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? And number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you can be able to place your answer in the room, if you don't have any mic. And dear ones, the number that you will be answering, you can also put it in the room so we can have an idea who's going to do the first one. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
So let's establish everyone. So the main characters is Christ and his disciples.
The answer to question 2 was the main idea for this section of the story. There are insights about the communion and even about Judas's betrayal.
Go ahead. Come, you can go at the top. Go this way. There you go.
Number 3. Where did the story take place? The story took place, in Jerusalem.
You want me to take it back to the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay. just give us a few seconds so Brother Ethan will know where he just came in by God's grace. Okay, where did it take place? Where was Jesus?
Jesus was with the disciples at the house.
Okay, and that house was the area of the?
Judas?
Yeah, the Judas was there with him, and this is where he was actually going to betray Jesus. But where did it take place? It was a room. What did they call the room?
The upper room.
Good job.
So the answer to number three is that is that they were inside the upper room.
Good job. Okay, we are in number four. Which one of the remnant people or even little ones or mommies would like to be able to share their answer for number four? But you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
I believe the story began number four when the Lord was beginning to gather with his disciples and was about to have the washing of the feet.
Anybody else would like to be able to share the answer to number four? May you unmute your mic to do so.
Number four. Okay. My answer to question number four, when the story begins, when believers assemble to celebrate the ordinances. There are present messengers unseen by human eyes.
We are in number five. Who would like to be able to share the answer with number five, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
I believe that we can relate to, or I can relate to the story in that we are supposed to practice this ritual ordained by God for the rest of our life. And new messages that the Lord, or we're learning from the Lord, is the way how we are to actually put everything aside a day before. And when we come on that day to do the ordinances, we come to be with the Lord and to not reject anyone that would want to participate, because the Lord have a lesson in the whole thing for us. And if we do that, we'll miss out, and we can even be considered as of like a Judas. I think that's what it said at the end. Maybe I'm using the wrong word, but yeah, similar. We should just leave everything in the hands of the Lord.
Does anybody else would like to be able to share their answer to number five? They are very important lesson with this number five. And if anyone would like to share their answer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
My answer to question number five is Christ's longs to cleanse us from sin, even if we're corrupt like Judas were. It was all that he was doing, but both on the communion and all the other events in his life. It was all to teach us who he is and that he was going to be our salvation.
I would like to share what I could relate to the story. Communion is such a sacred ordinance, but it also is very helpful. Sometimes if you may have individuals that may be hardened in heart, and you would like to let them know that your heart is well with them, in time of communion, by washing their feet, it can soften a hardened heart. And just hoping by God's grace, as we are not all by ourselves, heavenly angels are present, and they help along as well. They can be able to aid to touch the heart. We can be able to not only do this when we are in the capacity of church, we can also do that in our homes. Whenever there are difficulties, washing the feet in the ordinance can also bring about resolution if that heart is willing. And if it's not, by you washing the feet for them, it gives them also that if you're willing to serve them, if you're willing to go on your knees to serve and wash, at least they will have left that room knowing that your heart is at peace and you love them. So the only thing you can do is that to prepare for the ordinance, we all individual will go to God and ask the Lord if there's anything that we have to be able to bring before him. Not all the time is going to work out, but it's like a seed. It will be planted that day, but you never know what the Lord is going to do later. God's timing is always the perfect one. That is what I can relate to the story. Not all the time it will work, but at least you made a clear understanding that your heart is well with them. And who is going to share the answer to number 6? What did you learn from this lesson?
What I learned from the lesson is to always be mindful of what you say, how you say it, how you treat others, because there will always be unseen presence around us. So keeping that in mind, in my opinion, it should be able to keep the heart humbled and how we even treat our worst enemies. So going back to what Sister Rosia said, that the communion allows the heart to be able to be humbled and to be forgiving of those who have done us wrong and vice versa. But also keeping that in mind, that in our day-to-day activities and how we are dealing with one another, that there will always be unseen presence around, and taking note of our every word and action. So with that being said, as we keep that in mind, hoping that our hearts will be humbled even when we're not in the middle of communion.
I saw a hand was raised. Is it possible that you can be able to open your mic? I think it would. I'm not sure who raised their hand. My screen is changing. Okay.
It's me. I just had a question. And just to ensure that I can add to what number 6 is, so I could add to what I learned from this lesson. If we go back a few pages to where it says that before we partake of this thing, that the communion is not supposed to be, yeah, this page. But the communion service was not to be a season of sorrowing. This was not its purpose. As the Lord's disciples gather about his table, they're not to remember and lament their shortcomings. They're not to dwell upon their past religious experience. Whether that experience has been elevating or depressing, they're not to recall the differences between them and their brethren. The preparatory service has embraced all this. I want to hone in on the preparatory service that is supposed to allow for the humility to come in for being able to wash the feet. And I guess I just have a question in that. It was said that we may not, it may not work all the time because maybe the other person's heart is not yet receptive, but a seed will be planted. How should one know whether or not, if someone have an ought against thee or thee against someone else, how are you just supposed to proceed with this foot washing or communion service, or are you supposed to try to work it out with the individual? How would the counsel be in this particular instance, if that makes sense?
Being that the question is related to what I have shared, this is what I have learned. I always wanted to know the true meaning of communion. And I noticed that when you don't come to the Word of God, as it is written in Jesus, you will adopt customs and tradition of what you have learned by observation or sharing with individual. This is where everything goes wrong. We have to go to God and see what is the ordinance, what's the purpose, the reason, the meaning. The reason why I said things will not work is that whenever we do something wrong or whenever something is done wrong to us, we don't go to God with it. We have our own opinion. We have our own hurt. We have whatever it is that will justify whatever it is in our hearts. But in reality, there is work to do for the offend and the person that is offended. And that is for both individuals to go to God. Because God knows each heart. But also, we keep forgetting, as we can learn through this four part, the enemy is as present as angels are present. And wherever we yield our member, we're going to become servant to obey. The work has to be done first. If that person is angry with you and you have went at that moment to be able to ask, is there anything that I did? But the anger sometimes becomes such a wall that in that moment, instead of that individual take it and said, that is not even that person's nature to just come and ask, did I did something? Lift up a prayer at that moment and say, Lord, I don't know. If it's possible, help me that I may be able to speak the word, that I need to be able to reach heart and heart. But our humanity seems to always get in the way. And you know why? Because we yielded our member to our humanity. If we love that brethren, if we want to have peace with them, we will go to God and ask the Lord to wash our words and our actions. And you know, one thing that I do, and I'm very sorry about, is that when I came into this message, I should have went to the God of life and light, that he could have lightened my pathway. But there is something that is so beautiful in the plan of salvation. Where there is life, there is hope. And that means that we are going to fall many times and come short. But that's the reason why we can daily come to God, and what we have learned, now we can be able to repair. At this moment, the people might not be ready for you, but that's why you have to be long-suffering and wait for the time that the Lord has prepared to do so. Because whenever you go before God, it's just going to make it a little bit deeper. Why? Because the enemy is still around, and he does not like unity. He does not like resolution, because that praises God. And this is why I say sometimes it might not work, not because it cannot work, it's because the souls are not prepared to be able to let down what keeping them completely separated. So we do not have the answer. Who has the answer? Jesus did. And this is the song that makes me remember. The song is the Lord, when it tells you that he's long suffering, help me, Gina. This is the scripture song that I always sing.
The Lord God,
merciful and gracious, merciful and gracious, long-suffering. Thank you. Dear Lord God, merciful and gracious, and abounding in goodness, abounding in goodness and truth. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, iniquity, transgressions and sin. So you see, the Lord give us that these are the things then that we have to be able to. It's not my time or their time. It's the time where we surrender our heart to God to do what is right. So if the Lord is long suffering with our sins, our transgression, he doesn't force us to do anything. But it takes love to just wait until when the people will have the heart open enough to be able to do so. And that's what really shows love. Not to push the envelope, but to be able to have the patience to wait. But you have to do your work as well. And this is what I wanted to share with you. I hope and pray that it might bring a little bit of light on what I shared.
I have an experience on that. For the past couple of days, I have a friend of mine who came out here to visit with her family. But in the middle of all that, there was a whole lot of confusion, a lot of lying, and a lot of deceiving and manipulation. And I came and I sat down with her parents, and I found out the truth about everything. Well, in all of that, this young lady just fussing and yelling and screaming, just out of her character. And I'm just looking at her, and I had to explain to her the reason why I sat there and didn't say anything. It's because I love you. We've known each other since I was 14, and I know who you really are versus who you've grown to be. And I explained to her that the only way that anyone is going to tolerate anything is because it's the love of God that they have. I have to show you who Christ is versus me telling you who Christ is. And I, with that being said, she kind of got really quiet and started, actually just speaking with me instead of speaking at me. So with, her doing that, I was able to understand her point of view and the situations that are at hand that are on her plate. But how we have to look beyond the hurt of those who are hurting, so that we'll be able to minister to them. And the only way we can do that is if we have the love that Christ has for them.
Thank you so much for sharing, dear sister. Dear Brother Bob, I place a quote, and the quote starts from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 27. Just give me a chance, because every time when I kind of move it up, I might change the screen. I'm going to do the first, if somebody can do it after me, because if I move it, I don't want to remove the screen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. That is based on the question of Sister Cece. Who would like to take the 28th verse? Let me see if I can put it to, okay. Take it from here. Just a minute. Brother Ethan will be the one to share 28. I gotta look for it here because it's blocking it. Hold on. No, this one is the one that the rock place in the room, okay? Okay, there it is. Come closer to the mic.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he has eaten and drinking unworthily. Eaten and drinking
damnation
to himself.
See, it's a root word. Nation. See, I put it together.
Damnation to himself. Not disgracing.
Discerning?
Discerning the Lord. The Lord's body.
Amen. Well, dear ones, I believe that we had answered the sixth question. We are going to continue. Praise the Lord for your input, dear ones. And we have a thought. And this thought is taken from the Signs of the Time, January 2nd, 1893, paragraph 4. If any one of the dear brethren would like to read it, dear ones, can you unmute your mic?
In the council of heaven, provision was made that men, though transgressors, should not perish in their disobedience, but through faith in Christ as their substitute and surety, might become the elect of God, predestinated into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God wills that all men should be saved. For ample provision has been made in giving his only begotten Son to pay man's ransom. Those who perish will perish because they refuse to be adopted as children of God through Jesus Christ. The pride of man hinders him from accepting the provisions of salvation, but human merit will not admit a soul into the presence of God. That which will make a man acceptable to God is the imparted grace of Christ through faith in his name. No dependence can be placed in works or in happy flights of feelings as evidence that men are chosen of God, for the elect are chosen through Christ.
The Signs of the Times, January 2nd, 1893, paragraph 4. Amen.
Amen. And the last verse to the quote that Elder Rob had placed in the room. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Well, dear ones, this is the poem that we would like to share. It's entitled, Each Has His Special Work. This poem was taken from Family Bible Lesson, Europe Student, page 51. From the Children Activity Book from the Sunlight Education Ministry of Homeschooling from the Bible. And there is a title that goes with this poem. It says, Boy Jesus learned through the Passover service about the work he was here on earth to do. God had a special work for you too. So if anyone of the Dear Remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones?
Can you do it?
Oh, sure, go ahead.
The lota of grass is not stately tree, nor yet a lovely and all fragrant rose. It yields no nectar to the grateful bee, nor fashions for their transit or the sea. The hearts of the oak retreat by friends and foe.
Okay, can you read that last sentence again? The heart?
The hearts of oak retreat.
Red
by the friends and foe.
Two, but think of it as lightly as you will, fasten it over in your careless thread. It has its own peculiar place to fill and humble as it works appears. Still, nor oak nor rose could do that work instead.
So youthful Christian,
so,
through life's transient day, there is a special work marked out for you. It may be of the lowliest kind. It may be such as shall the loftiest powers display. But none beside yourself your work can do.
Then bend in meekness at your Savior's throne and seek to learn the purpose of his grace. Ask him who has so oft your duty shown to point you out the work that is your own and tell you where to find your proper place.
Amen. I found it to be such a great lesson that the Lord was sharing, that as a boy, he learned the Passover service by the work he needed to do. So just like the ordinance of the foot washing, there's a work as well to do, but we cannot do it without the one that can really cleanse the life and the heart and the walk. So I pray that we all can be able to do so, starting with myself. If there's any testimony, I know we have a little bit of time, so I'm going to hope that you could share your testimony after. Forgive us for taking so long. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with our part 5 of a new lesson, which is in remembrance of me, not really new, 4 parts, forgive me. If any one of the dear family would like to be able to close our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads and our knees, Father, Heavenly Father, who art thou in heaven. Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for gathering us here. We thank you for all the beautiful lessons that you are providing for us. We thank you for the participation of the children and their parents, Father. Father, we pray that all these lessons, that we may be able to assimilate them and that they may become part of our character going forward. Be with us for the rest of the day. Bless us continuously, I pray. Be with the second half of the program. And Father, may everything may be to your honor and glory, in no other name of Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Next Sabbath, by God's grace, it will be November 13, 2021. We will have a new lesson, which is 343 from our chapter 72, entitled In Remembrance of Me. That will be part 5. May God bless each and every one of you. Leaving Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God bless everyone, and may y'all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath.
Amen, and thank you, dear sister. And I just wanted to bring up one other point about the children's lesson. If you remember the page that mentioned there's unseen visitants there, it also mentions that Judas, since he was following the devil, allowed the presence of the devil and his evil angels to attend him at that service. And the disciples, in following Christ, allowed heavenly angels to attend them at that service. So then if Judas was willing to confess his sins and allow Christ to cleanse him, then the devil and the evil angels would not have his permission to be there. They would have had to flee. So then all that would have been left would have been heavenly angels. And thus the next service in communion would have been fully blessed. So that shows us the importance of the foot washing. We are to allow every area in our lives that allow the devil to be there to be eliminated, to be confessed and cleansed away, so the devil has to flee. And thus when we go into the, amen, close the door. So then when we go into the communion part of the service, we don't have to worry about whether the devil is with us or not, because we've closed that door to him being able to accompany us into that service. Now, we don't have to wait until communion comes to try and settle differences between brethren. We can have that all taken care of. In fact, we're not to allow our anger to remain past the going down of the sun on the very same day that we got angry. We're to make sure that anger is gone so that it doesn't continue with us overnight and then the next day and so on. So we don't have to wait for communion or foot washing to come to cleanse all these differences. But if we're unable to have them remedied beforehand, then foot washing is sort of the last opportunity to have that disagreement settled so that the devil doesn't have our permission to accompany us into the communion service. Yeah, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you, not the name of the devil. So thank you, dear Sister Rose. It was an excellent children's lesson. And I know more are coming. So praise the Lord.